Our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 and verses 4 through 7. This is on page 687 of the left-hand side of your pew Bibles. The numbers start over in the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Our God, we've gathered in your presence as exiles today, exiles from one thing or another that we've lost. So please open our hearts this morning to receive the word you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My sermon this morning is titled Letters to the Exiles. But before we go into it, I have an exegetical tool I'd like to give you. Exegesis is the process of digging into the scripture to see what's below the surface, what's there. One of the tools that I've found the past few weeks, I've just started using this. You know when you read a text and you know what it means? You've been there? You read it, you're reading your Bible and you go, okay, I know what this part means, and you just sort of mentally skip it. That's just me? Okay, so you just sort of mentally skip it. For example, if you were to say, like, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you go, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what it's about. That's all that it's about. And you just sort of, it's gone. One of the things that I've taken to doing is I'll write down what I think it's about, and then I'll ignore it, and sort of go in and see if anything else stands out and sort of sticks out and starts glowing for me. Not literally glowing, but just sort of, you go, okay, I see what's going on. I see something else in this. It helps you see something else. Now to the sermon. I'm familiar with this passage, Jeremiah 29, and I know what it's about. It's about seek the welfare of the city that you've been. It's seek the welfare of the city. That's it. It's pretty much what it's about. It's a bloom where you're planted text, and that's all it is. So naturally, I wrote it down, blurted it out, and gave it a second look. Because now I know what it's about, I can set aside what I know that it's about. And the word exiles started sticking out for some reason. I started thinking about exiles and how, what does exiles mean? What are these exiles? What's an exile? I looked it up in Merriam-Webster. It's the state or period of forced absence from one's country or home. That's definitely what's happening with the people of God. They've been hauled off to Babylon. They're singing psalms of lament, like the one we looked at last week, Psalm 137. I want to define it as that feeling of being far away from home, unable to return, by that great scholar David Shell. But there's different kinds of exile, I think. Not just being hauled away to Babylon, but we've all had that feeling. Like the big one is the feeling of exile from places where you've left, right? This is a picture of one of my favorite places on earth, Jamonville. In 2009, I went there. I didn't have a whole bunch of friends, hardly any, but I went there and I made a bunch of friends, and it sort of became a second home for me. And then the summer was over, and I went from southwestern Pennsylvania to Huntington, Indiana, where I knew literally no one. I'd never been to Indiana except to visit the school. And It felt like a kind of exile, even though it was self-imposed. I decided that I wanted to go to college, but it felt like exile to me. So that's one kind of exile that we can have, where we've chosen or haven't chosen, however it may be, to leave our home, a physical place, and go somewhere else. Another option is an exile from people. These were some of the people that I met at camp that first summer. Wonderful people, much younger. That's me over there. In a Michigan sweater, no less. I'd never been to Michigan. I just had the sweater. But then when I went to college, I was missing all of these people, so I felt like I was being exiled from them in a way. And it was a sense of being away. But there's also an exile where people leave. And what do we have for that? Oh, yeah. People leave for all kinds of reasons. They might want to travel, or maybe they got a new job. Could be that they haven't physically left, but there's sort of been a spiritual leaving in a, well, you know how politics get. Sometimes you just grow apart because you get these different ideological commitments and it gets really strong and violent, and you sort of feel exiled from people, or that you've exiled them from yourself. And of course, death, people die, and you haven't literally been hauled off to a foreign land, but you still have that feeling from Psalm 137 where when they say, "Where the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion," or maybe we could say when we remembered that person. And even if you haven't gone anywhere, there's still this feeling of being in a place of exile. Last but not least, at least in my tracking, I'm sure there's other kinds of exile. These are just the big ones that I could think of. They leave. The places leave. You ever try to go home? You can't go home again. So the even though the place is still there, it's not there anymore. Or it's physically not there, like Jerusalem being burned to the ground. That's not a rendering of ancient Jerusalem, by the way. The place could be gone, or like that song goes about Muhlenberg County, Mr. Peabody's coal train hauled the mountain away. That sense that the place is no longer there. So there's all these different kinds of exiles in ways that most of us, if not all of us, have been hauled off into one kind of exile or another, either by ourselves, by someone else, all kinds of ways that we've been exiled. So what do you do when you're in exile? Well, first you grieve and you mourn. You sit down and weep at the rivers of Babylon when you remember Zion, when you remember that place, a real place, a place in your heart that's gone and that you can't get back to no matter how much you want to. But what do you do next? You take one step and then another. This beautiful text, Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah tells them, build houses, live in them. And it's really, really hard to build a house in Babylon. It's really hard to live in this place of exile, to not just be wishing for Zion, but that's not to say that you forget Zion, that you forget the people or places that you've lost, but of course not. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. You don't have to forget Jerusalem, but you build houses and live in them. You take one step at a time. You don't have to fix everything. You don't have to make everything good. You don't have to pretend everything's fine. But there's this story that I heard a few years ago in seminary. One of the professors talked about how he'd learned to use a straight razor. And apparently it was, at least people in my generation, I have an electric razor. I go, used it this morning. Didn't do the greatest job, but this guy's got a straight razor, and he's learned how to use it, and it's not the easiest skill to pick up, I guess. And he's learned how to use it, but then one day he talked about his fiance died. And he didn't use this language, but he's been exiled. But he knew how to, he hopped in the shower and started shaving. And all of a sudden he realized that he was doing this. This was a thing that he still knew how to do. He still knew how to just shave, how to do this business. It was difficult, but how to do the business of living. You know, he's learned how to do it, and he's doing it. He's putting one foot in front of the other, even here in this land where he's been exiled from someone that he loves. Just one thing at a time, one step at a time. And it reminded me again of that line from the Mishnah that says, you're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. And I remember last week, DJ talking to us about in Sunday school, about the work of grieving, the work of grieving someone we've lost or something we've lost, that we do have to go through that. And in that time, we realize that we have to cook and we have to do all these other day-to-day things. And I think to some extent, that's what Jeremiah is talking about. Build houses, live in them. Take wives, have sons, daughters. Take wives for your sons. You just do the business of living. And then this last piece, that seek the good of the city. And this isn't like, maybe you can't do that right away, because if you've been hauled off into this horrible place of loss and being without someone, it's hard. It's really hard to try to make the place better. Not just for yourself, but for other people. You're seeking the good of the city, working for good, not just for yourself, but for those around you, maybe other people who are maybe not in your exact same exile, but similar exiles, that working to help and serve and love others. So what do you do in exile? You grieve and you mourn what you lost. And then you do the business of life. Maybe while you're grieving and mourning and mourning your loss, and you seek the good of the city, even if maybe you're still singing by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Let's pray. God, help us to find our way up off our butts onto which we've fallen. Lift us up and hold our hands as we struggle to put one foot in front of another in these exiles that we found ourselves in. And show us how we can seek the good of the city, of the place where we've been exiled to, and that it will prosper and that with it we will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.